Welcome back to the Canvas Chronicle podcast. I'm your host, Ben Hemmer. And as always, I'm joined by my partner, Mr. JJP, Jaden Park. And it's good to be back with you guys. We haven't been back since Monday, so we have a lot of news to talk about. Let's get right into it. So first off, Jaden, the Cubs won 11-2 the other night against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Against the Phillies?
Yeah, they won 11-2. And Shota Umaga pitched amazing, right? I told you this before we came on air. We need Shota to return to his all-star form that he was 2 years ago. You know, last year he was kind of in a slump. He struggled. I think people kind of figured him out. But Shota, in the first inning, gave up one home run. And after that, he didn't give up one hit after that. Shota looked amazing on Wednesday. And he pitched really well, right? And if the Cubs want to go win a lot of games this year, they're going to need him to play well, right? Especially with our ace pitcher, Cade Horton, going down with an ACL tear. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. So with him being done for the year, we really need Shota Umaga to step up. And he did that last night, right? These past two starts, he's given up, I think, two hits in total. I mean, the dude has just been phenomenal, right? And Bregman looked amazing. I think I sent you a video. Bregman's coming out at the right time, right? He's not getting home runs, but he's getting hits, and he drove in runners. Nico Horner, man, that dude is one of the most underrated second basemen out there. I mean, the dude had a five-hit game, four RBIs, one home run. The dude just continues to do his thing at the plate, right? And I thought Michael Bush had a bad game. He's kind of in a slump, right? And I think Michael Bush will come on at the right time. We'll see when that is. And the bullpen looked great. You know, they allowed some hits here and there, but Cubs dominated, right? And they took two out of three from the Phillies. And, the first game that they played against the Phillies, they got blown out. The Phillies won by a lot. And then for the Cubs to come back and to get the wins against the Phillies and to dominate, you know, the Cubs won 11-2 on Wednesday. I believe on, when was it, Tuesday? I believe on Tuesday, they won 10-4. And then the Phillies won 13-7 on Monday. So it was great for the Cubs to get bounce back wins, right? And like I said, Shota pitched amazing. I'm so proud of how he's pitched. Nico Horner looked great. Dansby had a home run. He looked great. And I'm just so proud of this Cubs team. You know, after losing to the Phillies 13-7, they very easily could have just said, you know, hey, we're done. Right, we don't want to win any more games. We don't want to do any of this stuff. We just want to give up. But no, for this team to fight back and for them to win two out of three, I just think speaks to how good of a team they are. And I will give Craig Council credit. You know, I've criticized Council a lot this year. I'll give him credit. He kept Shota in for another inning, right? And I was like, when Shota's doing well, I was like, Council, don't take him out. Don't take him out. He's doing really well. You know, and I will give him credit. You know, he kept in Shota for the sixth inning, I think. And Shota, you know, did his thing. He had 11 strikeouts, and I've criticized Craig Council a lot for some of the things that he's done, but I'm also going to give him credit where credit's deserved. And he kept Shota in for another inning. I'm glad that he did that, because we needed Shota to be on his A game, right? We needed Shota to play well. We needed him to strike batters out, and then he did that, right? He only allowed one earned run, and like we said on before we came on, he allowed one run, and that came in the second inning, or the first inning on the first pitch of the second pitch of the game, right? And just a great win by the Cubs. And I don't know who's on the mound today. I think it might be Edward Cabrera for the Cubs. And the Mets are—they've—I don't know what's going on with them. I mean, they lost Pete Alonso to the Orioles. They have Lindor. They have Juan Soto. They have some Japanese guy. I forget his name. They have a great catcher. I forget his name. But, Cubs play today at 1:20 at home at Wrigley Field against the New York Mets. And just get a win, right? Do what you did against the Nationals. And, hey, if you lose today, it's not the end of the world, right? But if you can come back and you can win two games and you can win the series, I think that's what will mean the most to most people. And did you watch any of the Cubs game at all?
Do they be on TV?
Yeah, they have Marquee Sports Network. It's an app. You kind of have to log in and do all that stuff on there. So
actually, I have T-Mobile. I get like the MLB pass.
No, it's not on MLB. It's on Marquee Sports. Yeah. It's on here. I can show you. It's on my. I'll just show you the app here real quick. See right here, this app Marquee. Yeah. It's on there. I watch a lot of my games. We just logged in on there. So I'll ask you, Jaden. I didn't watch Cubs games last year or the year before that. I didn't know that on the Marquee Sports Network app that you can watch games directly on there. So when I went on there this year and I realized that you can watch it, I thought it was pretty cool. But great win by the Cubs, 11-2. Showed just continued to dominate, right? And we're going to need him to play well, especially because, you know, our best pitcher, Cade Horton, is done for the year. And if Shota can keep playing like this, I think we can win a lot more games people expect us to win. And just a great win. And come back and
how is PCA doing?
He's struggling. I will give him credit. He did wait for pitches. He wasn't swinging at everything. He had an RBI, too. He had an RBI. It was a sacrifice fly, but that's still an RBI. But, man, I just think...
And the Mets are still on an 8-game losing streak, and they just
played
the
Dodgers.
Could
you imagine if the Mets would have kept PCA? Because, you know what's crazy? So, you know when we traded Javier Baez to the Mets? Mm-hmm. We got him for PCA, right? And great win by the Cubs, right? They needed that win. They needed to get a series win and against the Phillies, who are a great team. You know, Bryce Harper is still playing for the Phillies. I remember when he was with the Nationals. And, just a great win. And look for Cubs. I'll be watching the Cubs game today at 1:20 against the New York Mets. And I'm very proud of this team and how hard they fought. And look for them to get a win.
I've expected a lot more from these MLB teams.
I know. How are the Dodgers doing?
They're the only ones that have met their expectations.
Kyle Tucker is struggling. Yeah. I saw he has one home run.
The Dodgers are 14-4, but their best player right now on the roster that has the best stats is Andy Páez.
Who?
And then Teoscar Hernandez is the next best. They literally have a roster full of all-stars.
Okay. Go through the roster and I'll tell you how many were all-stars. I know Teoscar was an all-star. Kyle Tucker, Shohei.
Yamamoto
was an all-star. Will Smith was an all-star.
Max Muncy.
He was an all-star.
Tyler Glasnow.
Yep.
Literally a whole starting lineup, bro.
Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
Jaden, I've said this time before, and I'm going to say it again. The Dodgers signing all those players proves that there needs to be salary cap in baseball. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be signing those players, but I'm just saying that they're signing too many, right? And there needs to be a salary cap. The MLB needs to do something about it. And I'm frustrated that there's not because... they're taken away from Cubs signing those players. But the Cubs don't act like a big market team. They act like a small market team. But
Andy Páez is batting .400 right now. He has 20 RBIs and 5 home runs. He leads the league in batting average, hits, and RBIs.
Over Shohei?
Yeah.
Dang. How is Judge doing? I heard he's not.
Probably not.
I saw he had a home run against the Giants, and I haven't heard anything since then.
The Yankees are 10-9.
How?
And he's hitting .236.
Yankees are the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL.
Literally the exact. My mom roots for the Cowboys and the Yankees. I'm why do you root for the same team?
Exactly.
In sports, bro?
The last time the Yankees won a World Series was 2009, Jaden.
Or literally they do good in the regular season and then they just fall in the playoffs or they don't even make it to the playoffs.
Well, 2019, the Astros cheated, but
that could have been their year, but
need to get into that right now, but
Ben Rice is honestly has,
Jaden, let me say it one more time. 2009. I was 2 years old. You were three. I was 2 years old, Jaden. 2009. That was the last time the Yankees won the World Series. 2009.
He leads the league in home runs, but he's just not, batting good.
When are the Yankees going to take it themselves seriously?
Never.
Remember when the Yankees in the 50s and 60s just dominated every single year, just won the World? Just every single year with Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Roger Maris, they won it every single year. And why are they struggling?
The Cowboys and the Yankees always have the roster, but they just never put it together. The
exact same. You know who Aaron Judge reminds me of? Dak Prescott. Do you know why, Jaden? Falls under pressure in the playoffs. Doesn't do well in the playoffs. We saw it in the World Baseball Classic. What happened with Aaron Judge? He folded under pressure. He struck out against some Brazilian. Do you see him against a 17-year-old from Brazil? Dude, what are we doing here? Especially because how big Aaron Judge is. You know how big Aaron Judge is? He's 6'7". He's a big dude. Mm-hmm. And that 17-year-old from, what was it?
You said Brazil.
Brazil was just, he was just lucky enough to be there. If you just strike out against him, Judge, I've seen you hit off against better pitchers against that guy. It's just, literally, Jaden, your mom, man. Why is she cheering for the exact same team?
I said you need to enter the chance for Puerto Rico. Get a new team.
I know.
Bro. It's been going on since, the 80s, the 70s.
The Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 96. That was the last time they won a Super Bowl. It's just, They're never going to win one anytime soon until Jerry sells the team. That's just plain and simple. All the Cowboys fans that listen to this, until Jerry sells the team, they will not win a Super Bowl. That just won't.
It's never their year. They always say it is. It's never your
year. Same with Texas. Oh, we're back. Like, bro, you're not back. You say that every single year. Oh, we got Cam Coleman. Oh, we're back. Arch is going to win the Heisman. No, Arch isn't even a top five quarterback in college football right now. In my opinion, I don't know what you have to say about him.
He was literally the Heisman favorite last year, and he wasn't even, like, he didn't do anything that year.
I can name probably 10 quarterbacks that are better than him. But yeah, man.
Mets are at the bottom of the NL right now.
Mets?
Yeah. The Rockies have the same record as the Mets.
What's the Rockies?
7-12.
Rockies are always bad. Rockies could sign a bunch of Dodgers players. Like, they could sign Shohei Ohtani, they'd still be bad. It's just how they are. But the Iowa tampering stuff, man. What are we doing here in CAA? If you're gonna punish, I've told you this. I've told people this before, and I'm gonna say it again. If you're gonna punish Iowa, you got to punish Michigan, right? And Jaden, every team around the country is doing this. But why is Iowa the only ones that are getting in trouble for it? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You can't tell me Lane Kiffin's not doing that at LSU. You can't tell me that Billy Napier wasn't.
Nick Saban used to do that.
Yeah, he did that all the time. Like. But why is Iowa the only ones that are getting in trouble for it?
They paid off players when NIL wasn't even a thing yet.
Exactly. But yet Nick Saban said that he left because of NIL. Like, I just don't. Something doesn't add up here. But like I said, you can't tell me Lane Kiffin's not doing that at LSU. You can't tell me that Kirby Smart's not doing that at Georgia. You can't tell me that Ryan Day isn't doing that at Ohio State. Like, everybody's doing that. You can't tell me that Kurt Cinetti's doing that at Indiana. Like, every coach is doing that. That's what you have to do sometimes to get the best recruits to come to your program, right? And What are your thoughts on this, Jaden?
It's cool if you're gonna do it, but I mean, you got to be fair about it.
Yeah, you're gonna
Michigan
do it,
did the same exact thing, and they did it worse. Top of that.
I know they had a guy that was stealing signs, but yet they don't get punished for it. But yet Iowa, who McNamara didn't make a big impact at Iowa, we thought he would, but he never just lived up to his full potential.
Yeah, like if they won the championship, maybe, or like if they actually made the playoffs with them, like, I would understand that. But like, why are you investigating them for making a bowl game, like? They made just a random bowl game.
And McNamara got hurt too.
Yeah,
you're really gonna
like. It's not like It's not like he added much to their franchise. Honestly, no. He probably took more away than he added.
Honestly, it's just like.
I understand it. If I understand like what you did, but I mean, you have to be fair across every team.
Yeah, Iowa was wrong, but I'm not saying that I'm not saying that Iowa didn't do it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that. If you're going to punish Iowa, you might as well punish, honestly, every other team in the country, because they're doing that, too. I know dang well Kirby Smart's doing that at Georgia. I know dang well Ryan Day's doing that. I know Lane Kiffin's doing that at LSU. I definitely know that Nick Saban did that. 100% he did that. I know that Coach O, Go Tigers, I know Ed Orgeron was doing that. How much do you think he paid Joe Burrow to come to his school? I bet Joe Burrow was getting paid a lot.
Yeah.
I bet he was. And this is pre-NIL. This is before NIL started. And it doesn't really make any sense to me. I mean, yeah, you know what's crazy, Jaden? He's still the all-time Big Ten wins leader. And these Iowa State fans on Twitter, Jimmy Rogers is already 1-0 against Kirk. Like, no, he's not. They haven't even played a game yet, and you're saying he's 1-0? Like, are we serious right now, Jaden? Are we serious? Like, these Iowa State fans on Twitter be going crazy. Have you seen them on Twitter?
Uh-uh.
Matt Campbell is 3-0 against Matt Campbell has won two. Like, bro, you still lost. You still lost to Iowa, right? Iowa beat you fair and square. They weren't cheating. They didn't steal signs from you. They just won fair and square. You know what I mean? Like, you know how Iowa tampered for McNamara, Iowa State fans? You still lost to Cade McNamara, one of the worst quarterbacks in Iowa history. Deacon Hill is probably the worst. Spencer Petras is probably right up there, too. I would go Deacon Hill as the worst quarterback. I would go Spencer Petras, 2. I will go Cade McNamara, 3. Honestly. Do you think that's a fair order?
Say it again.
So Deacon Hill is the worst Iowa quarterback I've ever seen. Not even a question. Spencer Petras, 2.
He was like a fridge,
2?
Bro.
I know.
Like, he didn't do anything.
No.
He couldn't even run right.
No. I don't even know how he's a quarterback. He looks like a...
He should be a fullback, bro. Like...
I know, he should be. So Deacon Hill won.
Spencer Petras, yeah.
Is McNamara worse than Petras? I mean...
Nah.
Okay, I'll go Petras 2, McNamara 3. But I truly do believe this, Jaden. If McNamara didn't get hurt, I think I would have gone to the college football playoff. I really do think that. Obviously, he got hurt. He wasn't really fully healthy the whole entire season. So I went to the first game. It was me, my mom, my aunt, and my cousins, and my uncle, and that went there. And we were sitting there. We were like, I told my dad, I was like, I think this is going to be a good year for Iowa. I think Iowa can back to American lead us to the college football playoff. No. That was not the case whatsoever. We lost 26-0 to Tennessee in a bowl game. I was watching that Kansas City. It was so bad. We didn't even score 1 point against, who was that quarterback that year was Nico. And, it's whatever. But like I said, Jaden, if you're going to punish Iowa, you might as well punish all the other schools. How is Michigan going to get away with the national championship? How? You're telling me that you're going to punish Iowa, who didn't win anything, but you're not going to punish Michigan, who stole signs to win a national championship against Washington. How does that make any sense? I don't get it. And the NCAA is a mess right now with the transfer portal and the NIL and all that stuff. It is so bad right now. And like I said, the NCAA, don't point the finger at anybody else but yourself, because this is what you did to yourself, and it makes you look bad. Man, it was... It just doesn't really make any sense to me, and I don't get it, man. It just doesn't really. It's whatever, but Iowa football will just still probably win probably 6 to 8 wins this year. And do you think that was too? Do you see what Kirk Ferentz said about it? It's unfortunate, but the thing with Iowa is you rarely see that happen. Other schools. They usually
do it the right way, they do it organic and ethical.
Yeah. Whereas LSU and Ohio State and Alabama, they're getting the 5-star recruits. Yeah. Where Iowa is developing guys, they're getting these guys that these farm boys from Illinois, Iowa. No offense to farm kids, but and Cooper DeGene, dude was a stud in high school. He was a quarterback. I think being a defensive back who played quarterback, I think it makes you so much better as a player, just because you know what the quarterback is thinking, right? Because you are a former quarterback yourself. And I think Iowa needs to recruit more guys like that, because playing quarterback in high school and playing defense back in college, I think, helps you a lot. We saw with Cooper DeGene when he did. Dude was just an absolute stud, and he's done it in the NFL too. He's a tremendous defensive back for the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously. And Zach Lutmer, also another one, played quarterback in high school, and is going to be the next great, defensive back at Iowa. So I think playing quarterback in high school helps you a lot as a defensive back in college, because you have the instincts of, this is what I would do. This is what I'm thinking. This is what they're thinking, right? And I thought that, it's whatever, NCAA can do what they want, but all the other schools out there are doing it, right? But why is Iowa the only one that's getting punished for it, right? And I'm going to say this one last time. If you're going to punish Iowa, you might as well punish all the other teams. So, Jaden, we need to talk about NBA, man. We have some big stuff to catch up on here, man. I saw the Luka Doncic stuff.
How about Luka Doncic, man? If you're Adam Silver, do you really think that you're not going to miss a couple games to watch the birth of your daughter? That's a one-time thing. That's literally a one-time event.
Dude is he's 60, I think?
Yeah.
I can look up how old he is.
I don't know.
Keep going on about what you were.
Why are you going to punish an NBA player for going all the way to Slovenia to watch the birth of his daughter? And he literally came back the next day.
63? Yeah.
He literally came back the next day after that. He watched it for a couple of days. He missed only 2 games and he came back right away. It's the birth of your daughter. That's a one-time event in your life.
Dude is 63 and having a daughter, bro. That's crazy. But wait, so say that again. So he's missing the
NBA. He missed only 2 games. Luka missed 2 games to go watch the birth of his daughter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Adam Silver. Okay,
Luka went to Slovenia to watch the birth
Forget
of his daughter.
Forget about what I said. Yeah. Forget about what I said. I was like, wait, what?
Literally right after.
Okay. Yeah, and you're going to...
How are you going to punish him for that? And he was 1 game off of the 65 game. But the requirement states that you have to play 20 minutes in each game.
That's...
In each of those. So Bruce Brown, you know him?
Yeah.
He played all 82 games, but he's not eligible for the awards or anything, because he didn't play 20 minutes in 65
points
games.
Points have a big thing to do with it, right? And if you're a role player and you play that match games, it also depends on kind of injury. Let's say somebody ahead of him were to get injured and he had to play.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Luka has to play, but I've studied this before, Jen, and if Luka doesn't win MVP, but we're riding.
I don't even think... I want him to win or at least get top 2 to show the respect for him. He literally led the league in points.
I think here's what I think the 3 players... I'll give you 4 players that win MVP. Shea, Jokic, Luka, Wemby.
I think it's between Jokic, Shai, Wemby, Luka. I think the voters are going to do it this way. They're going to say Jokic, SGA, Luka, Wemby, probably. But I think it should go Luka, Jokic,
Shai, Wemby.
Shai, Wemby. Like, Wemby's cool and everything, but he has a really good team around him.
Yeah,
and
like, I think Wemby will win Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year, that's cool. Like, you're easily the best defensive player. Like,
yeah,
you're
for
the
sure
MVP on defense.
I don't disagree with that, 100%.
Like, you can be the MVP on defense, but, like, the offense that you bring to the team is not as good as Luka or Jokic,
like,
or SGA.
Luka's had a play with LeBron being hurt, yeah, with Austin Reeves being hurt, with Marcus Smart being hurt. And you look at Wemby's team, Stephon Castle,
Dylan Harper,
De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes. He's on the Spurs?
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes, obviously he's not a superstar.
I'm pretty sure like 7 or 8 players on the Spurs average double digit.
That's crazy. But I told you this. I think Wemby is the next coming of Kareem. I really do think that. Obviously, Wemby.
And you can shoot threes too.
I know. And I think he's a more dangerous level of Kareem. Even though Kareem had the sky hook, which I don't think anybody will be able to stop. I don't even think anybody in these days could stop Kareem or stop the sky hook. I just don't. Don't you think, like,
yeah,
nobody could stop
like
that?
Robin, I think Robin Lopez used to do it. Like, I don't think
nobody can stop. Nobody.
You can't block that.
He would literally shoot from a free throw line and go
like
this.
If you can make those consistently, like, no one's stopping you.
No, nobody. Nobody. And Kareem, this was Kareem at the free throw line. He would literally go like this. He would just, like, dump it in. And that's what made him so good. And he played for so long, and he was just obviously a great center. But, yeah, man, I think Luka deserves to win MVP, what he's done. I mean, the dude is averaging, like, what, 33 points a game, yeah, 34 points?
Like, it never goes to, like, a lower seed. Like, they're the 4 seed, I think. It only goes to, like, the 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah.
That's always what it goes to. And, like, since the Spurs are the 2 seed, Wemby's odds are going to get boosted because of that. But I don't think that it's the most valuable player. If you make the playoffs, honestly, you don't even, like, it's the most valuable player. It doesn't have anything to do about your team stats. Most valuable player, not most valuable player on a team. Like, most viable team. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's the most viable player. What the player does for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, all of them are in the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not like you can knock him on that.
Yeah.
And he's a top 4 seed. Like, he has home court advantage. It shouldn't be based on what your team success was that year, because it's a team sport on what your record is. It's most valuable player is a one-man award. Like, they can say, yeah, my teammates helped me get here and everything, but they're not looking at what your teammates' stats are. It's what the MVP stats are.
Yeah.
And what they've done for their team. Mm-hmm. So, like, Cade Cunningham got a proof for his, too. I think Cade would be above Victor, honestly.
You think
so? What Cade is, they're the number one seed in the, like, who would have thought that we'd be saying that?
And yet they fired Monty Williams.
Like, who would have thought we'd be saying the Pistons are the number one seed in
the league? I don't think they've been a number one seed since the Bad Boys with 89 and 90 when they were, you know, obviously winning it all and all that stuff. But, yeah, I just think, I don't think if
like
Luka
Wemby has so many other years to win an MVP.
Oh.
And, like, he can put up better stats than he has. Like, obviously, the blocks are always going to be there. You're 7-4. Like, the blocks are already going to be there. You're probably win Defensive Player of the Year back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, like, all your career, probably.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can put up better offensive stats than that. Like, you're going
to
get better.
When you're 7-4, you really don't have to do much. All you have to do is just put your hands up. Like, that's really all you have to do.
He's going
to
have better stats.
I'm not saying he's not a good defensive player. I'm just saying
Jokic leading the league in assists and rebounds, that's crazy. But, I mean, he already has 3 already, right?
Mm-hmm,
he already has 3. So it's like, I mean, there's voter fatigue because, like, he's been doing this for a while.
You know what's crazy to me? Nikola Jokic has never averaged 30 points in his career. That's just what. But he doesn't have to because he has good players around him.
Mm-hmm.
He has underrated players. He has Christian Brown. He has, Michael Porter Jr. Bruce Brown isn't still in the Nuggets, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Bruce Brown.
They traded
Aaron Gordon.
They traded MPJ for that one, Cameron Johnson.
Cameron Johnson on the Nuggets? Yeah. But yeah, I just think that if Luka doesn't win it, who do you think wins it?
Jokic.
Yeah,
I want Luka to win it, but it's probably gonna be Jokic.
Yeah,
because like Shai, it's just like the voters are just so inconsistent with
and
what
a lot
they
of
do.
Politics has go involved yeah. in
and
with
they,
that. And
they always have like if they didn't have voters fatigue, LeBron would probably have like 6 MVPs by now.
100%.
Like, Rose's MVP was honestly just because they didn't want Bron to win again.
What year did Rose win that?
Like 2011. He was the youngest MVP ever. But
was 2011 when LeBron was on the Heat? When was his first season on the Heat?
His first season on the Heat was 2011.
Oh, okay.
So, like, But like, it's just like Jokic has three already, and he should have four because Embiid should not have won that MVP.
No, but I mean, I think the reason why they gave it to Embiid is because they felt bad for him losing the Jokic series in a row.
But it's just like, Embiid would probably be the best, the MVP, like back in the day. He'd probably win MVP like 75% of the time. But like, when you have all stars like Jokic and like Luka and Shea, like you're just Giannis, like,
and all
just,
those guys are from other countries. Yeah. Like the world is catching up to the USA.
You're just like when you're the second place guy, it's like you're probably not going to win MVP. It's bad. Like it sucks. But I mean, when there's Jokic's in the league and there's Luka's and there's Shea's in the league, it's just like you got to be you're just really out of luck there.
Yeah, and I think Jokic has been the face of the league probably since what, 2021? I think so. I mean, when was first MVP? When was it? 2021, I think he won it. Giannis won it in 2019, 2020. And Jokic is 2021, 2022.
Yep. And then it was in B 2023.
It should have been Jokic. It should have been Jokic three times in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to know the reason why Jokic is so good? Is because in EuroLeague basketball, they teach the fundamentals. That's like
with Luka.
Yeah, like, and plus they're playing against guys that are like 40 years old, and they're playing against and LaMelo. That's why he's good too, because he played in a league where guys are like so much older than him, and you get a lot of experience because it's fast paced game and it's all that stuff. The reason why Jokic is so good is because like they teach you fundamentals out there. You know how in the USA they just kind of like, oh, shoot a basketball.
They kind of just put you on the.
But
on
you can't shoot a basketball if you don't know the right technique.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to, if you don't know how to dribble, how are you going to be able to pass to your teammates? How are you going to be able to assist, right? And I think that's why Jokic is so good, and Luka and Wemby and Shea, is because they teach you the fundamentals, right? And you have to know the fundamentals. You know, you can't just go right into it. It's like saying to a kid, hey, shoot a basketball. And then they're like, what is that? Like, you have to know how to shoot. You have to know how to get the right form to know how to do that stuff. And I think where, not necessarily Jokic, but like where Luka's from and all that stuff, like they teach the fundamentals. They teach you dribbling the right way. They teach you just all that stuff. And I think that's why Jokic is so good. You know, he's not the quickest guy. He's not the fastest. He's not, you know, he doesn't flash you. He doesn't have flashy athleticism like LeBron or Giannis. But he scores the right way. He scores when he needs to, and it's just so smooth, right? I went to a Brooklyn Nets game versus Nuggets in Denver, and I saw him playing. I looked up the scoreboard, and I was like, this dude has 30 points. Like, I thought he had like 15 or 10. I'm like, this dude has 30 points? I'm like, are we serious? He plays the game the right way, right? He's a smart player. He gets his teammates involved, and he does it the right way. And, dude, who would have thought a guy drafted during a Taco Bell commercial in 2014 would be a three-time MVP? I think going to be four, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to Luka. But should be four-time MVP, let's be honest. Embiid, I mean, he's a great player, but he's nowhere near Jokic. You know what I mean? Like, he's a great player, but he's not nowhere near the level Jokic is at right now. And, man, who would have thought a second-round pick but drafted during a Taco Bell commercial would be a three-time MVP in a finals champion. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, you know, he just, Luka too, like, he just shoots like so smooth. His game is just so smooth. And Mavericks look so dumb getting rid of him. I mean, Nico Harrison, what are you doing, man? It just doesn't really, obviously, can you imagine Cooper Flagg and Luka Doncic on the same team? How good that would have been? Like, that would have been. And if Clay never got hurt, prime Clay, man, that would be scary. I firmly do believe this. If prime Clay never got hurt and they would have Luka Doncic in that finals run when they played against the Celtics in 2024, I believe the Mavericks would have won that finals. I truly do believe that. I believe that the Mavericks would have won that finals in 2024 if Clay never got hurt.
I don't think Clay had Clay yet.
What?
I don't think they had Clay.
No, they had Clay. I remember watching it. They had Clay. The Mavericks in 2024? Yeah, they had Clay.
In 2024?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on the Warriors though?
No, he was on the
I thought it was only like Luka and Kyrie.
Oh, they did have Kyrie, but they had Clay. I remember Clay in that game. I remember him. But they play the game the right way. We're in those other countries. And I think the USA needs to do that. I just think we need to teach more fundamentals to people. I don't think that we emphasize enough the fundamentals, right? Because without the fundamentals, you can't play basketball. You can't shoot. You can't do all that stuff. So I think it's very important for people to teach all that stuff because it means a lot, right? You know, you can't just it's like saying dunk a basketball. You have to have technique. You got to have footwork right. You got to do all that stuff. And I think that the other countries do. Not saying the USA doesn't do a good job about that, but I think they need to emphasize it a lot more. But yeah, man. So let's give our end of season predictions here. So MVP, I want you, Luka, to win it, but I think it will go to Jokic.
I want Luka, but it's going to go to Jokic.
Probably.
The top five is going to be, with the voters, is going to be Jokic. They're probably just going to put Shea, Luka, Wemby, Cade.
Yeah. But like, Wemby has a stacked team around him.
Yeah.
Shea has a stacked team around him. Luka doesn't have a stacked team around him. You could say the same about Jokic, though, too, but I think Jokic has better players on his team than Luka does.
And you have to factor in, like, he already has three MVPs.
He
already voted him three times as MVP. And it's just like, if you don't give Luka the respect this year, when will he ever get respect to win an MVP?
Exactly.
If you're not going to respect what he's done this year for the Lakers, I don't know what else he can do.
How many years in a row has he averaged, like, over 30 points a game? Like, at least three? I mean,
I'm pretty sure he's made All NBA every single year
since he entered the league. I mean, my gut is telling me that it's going to go to Jokic, but I want Luka to win it. I'm not taking away from Jokic. Jokic is a tremendous player. I'm not trying to hate on Jokic. He's a great player.
It's honestly, this is probably like top one of like season that he's ever had. Probably his best season that he's ever had. But I mean, they've already gave it to him three times, and it's like you've had the success already, Luka. You've never given him respect.
Yeah.
Like, this is Luka's year to win MVP, and he's not going to win it because they're not going to vote him. But, I mean, I believe Luka should win MVP.
You know what? I think that they should have the players vote for MVP. Because at the end of the day,
they know who's the best. They know what it takes to guard them.
You're going to have some NBA executive vote for.
That's watching in a suite.
Yeah, watching in a suite. You're gonna have them decide who wins MVP. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, they should have the players vote for MVP. Because at the end of the day, the players are the ones that are playing the game, and they're the ones that are guarding Luka, Jokic, Shea, Wemby, Cade. You know, they're the ones that are guarding those guys. They're the ones that are playing against them, right? And I think Adam Silver should have, obviously, a little bit of insight because he's the commissioner, obviously. But I think that the majority of the stage should go to the players, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are playing. They're the ones that are making baskets. They're the ones that are contributing for the team, right? And I think they need to do something about that. I think that they need to have the players vote and not necessarily some random GM, some guy that doesn't really watch a whole lot of basketball, right? And hopefully, crossing my fingers that Luka wins MVP. I don't think he will, but I hope that he does. Hope that the NBA makes the right decision, because, like I said, I'm not taking anything away from Jokic. I'm not saying he's a bad player. Jokic is a tremendous player. I just think what Luka has done this year deserves him to win MVP.
Also, I want to go back on this. I said that the Lakers are going to get swept. I've seen some coverage of them. I believe in LeBron. I believe LeBron's going to win in seven. LeBron in seven.
I don't even care.
Like, Luka, he can come back like mid-series. They need Austin Reeves can come back next series. They need Luka sometime.
They need
a
healthy Austin Reeves, a healthy LeBron, and a healthy Luka if they want to win.
So I got LeBron in seven right now.
Who are they playing against first?
Rockets.
I mean, Katie's going to have to carry a load. Oh, well, Jalen Green.
They got Sengun, Amen Thompson. They got Jabari Smith. Jalen Smith's on
KD, how many wins did they have, right? I'm not saying KD's all their team, but, like, KD's one of the best scorers of all time, right? And, I mean,
LeBron would never get swept with the Rockets. The first time he got swept was by Jokic, literally, I'm pretty sure.
Swept in the finals?
By the Warriors.
What year was that, 2017?
2018.
I think he might have won just one game.
He won one game one year. No, I think because 2018, Bron got swept.
That was 4-0. KD and Curry.
Their second year together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, against this team, I don't see him getting swept, for real. I was just being down. But, I mean, because, like, Luka and AR is out. That's just like.
And with the Rockets, I don't know how KD can. I don't know if one player can necessarily. How old is KD now? Like 37, 38? I don't know how much like a 38-year-old Kevin Durant can carry a whole team on his back, you know? But obviously, you know, have Sengun, who's an underrated player. You have was it? Who is it? Amen Thompson. It's Amen Thompson.
They got Reed Shepherds. He's coming.
He's underrated. Yeah. He's a great. I think the Rockets made a great pick in picking him up because I think he's going to be a great 3-point shooter for them, and I think he already is. I think he's just.
But I mean, like LeBron doesn't have a necessarily bad team around him. It's just not as good as a Rockets supporting cast right now. Like with Luka and AR out, I mean, like he has DeAndre Ayton, Jake LaRavia, Luke Kennard, but it's like those players.
I think Luka is better than. Obviously, better than Star Thompson. He's better than Jabari Smith. He's better than Sengun. He's not better than Kevin Durant.
Like if the Lakers play above average than what they usually do,
are they hosting? Sure. Yeah. Are they hosting?
They're
going to Houston
for the
too,
first two games. So it goes LA 2, Houston 2, and then 1-1-1.
Okay.
I think it's going to be like. They'll win all their home games, so they're probably winning 7.
Do you think they should have a play-in tournament or no?
I think it's good for those teams to compete at the bottom, but I mean, when it comes down to like a 10 or 9 seed getting into the playoffs,
that's
the one seed's always going to win, basically.
Oh, like they might lose one game,
yeah,
but you really don't have a chance.
Unless it's like your star players have been out for the whole season and they're coming back and then they somehow end up to be like the 10 or 9 or 8 seed.
Yeah.
And then they get into the playoffs and beat the 1 seed. I mean, like, that's cool, but I mean, it's rarely going to happen. But yeah. I mean, I get what Adam Silver's doing, like trying to make the teams that like almost hitting the playoffs, like try to compete at the end of the season and like make it more competitive. I mean, like, it's cool, but at the same time, I don't know.
If I were to give you my finals prediction right now, I just think the Thunder are going to. I mean, I just think that they're too good. They have so many good players. They have, obviously, Shea. They have Jay Williams. Don't they have two Jalen Williams on their team?
Yeah.
Jalen Williams. Chet Holmgren. Obviously, Peyton Sanford. Iowa. Shout out Peyton Sanford from my hometown. Actually, lives close to me, actually. Who I think. Did you see him at 23 points the other night? Dude was firing from. He was hitting from three. He was doing good. Who else do they have? Oh, they have Jared McCain. Do they still have Usman Dang? I don't know if they...
I don't know. Does he play?
I need to look up the Thunder roster here. I don't know if they have Usman Dang. I don't know if he's still on there. You know Usman Dang's sister plays in the WNBA? I don't know. A lot of people know that. No, he's on the Bucks now. Dang. I wonder when he got traded there. Okay, he's been on the Bucks since 2026, so this year. I did not know that.
And they got Caruso. You said him?
Oh, yeah, Caruso.
Aaron Wiggins, Lou Dort.
Yeah, Lou Dort, Aaron Wiggins. I just think that they just got such a great team. And obviously, leading by Shea, you have Chet. You got Jalen Williams, two Jalen Williams. You have Peyton Sanford, Jared McCain, Brooks Barnheiser. You got who else is on that team? I don't know, who's the backup center on that team? I don't know who.
They got like Hartenstein and then
Shea. Yeah, Hartenstein.
Did they play together, though? Doesn't he start?
Let me see what their record was this year. Looking at it here, they were 64-18. That's insane, man.
They were on pace to beat the Golden State Warriors
right.
before they.
Here's their roster: Brooks Barnheiser, Brandon Carlson from Utah, Alex Caruso, Luang's Dort, Shea, Isaiah Hartenstein, Chet Holmgren, Isaiah Joe, Jared McCain, AJ Mitchell, Peyton Sanford, obviously Thomas Sorber. Topic.
Yeah, Nikola Topic.
Cason Wallace. Yeah. He's on the team. Aaron Wiggins, Jalen Williams, and Kendrick. Kendrick Williams. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't see a way that the Thunder don't win the finals.
Like
I mean,
my heart just, wants to say that the Lakers could beat them, but I don't think they could.
No.
Even in like a nine.
Maybe game one game. Maybe one
they
game.
They could probably sneak two, but I mean,
Okay, I'm gonna tell you this: if they have a healthy Allison Reeves, a healthy LeBron, and a healthy Luka, they maybe could win two games. But I don't see that happening. I mean, I just don't really, I don't see that.
Like if they're playing top of the top, like best they've ever played, they might force a game 7. Like if they're on, but like the Lakers always disappoint in the playoffs when it comes time. Like,
yeah,
like LeBron's always gonna be LeBron. And, like, Luka's probably going to be Luka now when they have him in the playoffs. But, I mean, they just always tend to disappoint and, like, underperform. It's just, like, underwhelming performances every single year.
Speaking of, this is a good question. How many more years do you think LeBron's got in him?
At least two.
That dude could play till 50.
They're saying that this is his last year. He got at least one more.
I don't think he'll retire.
He'll play one more, and then I think he got one more after that.
No. Here's what I think he'll do. I think he'll play one more year with the Lakers. He'll bring Bronny and Bryce into Cleveland, and then Cleveland, this is for you. Here's what he'll do, right? This will be his last year with the... Okay. So after the season, he'll play one more with the Lakers. He'll sign with the Cavs. He'll bring Bronny over with him. They'll draft Bryce. That'll be his last season. Can you imagine that, having two sons play with you on the Cavs? I really do think he'll go back to the Cavs. I really do. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I mean, he was a chosen one since what? I mean, since 2003?
Probably since he came out the womb.
Yeah, since he since he came out. But yeah, man, I mean, do you think that that's what's going to happen? I mean, I think this. So he'll play one more year with the Lakers.
I think he'll definitely go somewhere else besides LA to end his career.
I think he'll be Cleveland. I really do. I think that he'll bring Bronny and Bryce with him, and then he'll play with him for 1 year, and then he'll retire. So, I think he has probably 1 to 2, maybe 3 years left in him. I mean, you really never know, right? I mean, MJ, he retired, what, 3 different times, you know, obviously with the baseball stuff, but yeah, I'm interested to see how many more years he plays, and, obviously with the amount of success that he's had, and, it's just crazy to think that he's had good success, but
and the Timberwolves and Nuggets play again this first round.
Who is
the Timberwolves?
Well, they don't have Kat. They have Rudy Gobert, yeah. Anthony Edwards, Nas obviously. Nas Reed. Who else do they have?
Julius Randle.
Yeah, Julius Randle.
They got Io Desumnu. You know him from Illinois.
From the Bulls.
Uh-huh.
When did he go there?
They got traded like that trade deadline.
Dang, I did not know that. So, yeah, moving on. WNBA draft. We had a lot of picks. What were your overall thoughts on the WNBA draft? Did you watch this at all? Or
I was just keeping up with it, like, on ESPN.
So, we can... You want to pull up the draft here on Wikipedia real quick?
So,
obviously, we know
Azzy went...
Azzy went number one. Reunited with Paige. Obviously, Arike's still there.
I don't know if they are, like, dating still, though. They're kind of, like...
Yeah.
There's like some drama
about that,
with that.
Actually,
I don't know if they are yet because like she got asked that in media and like the team literally like declined the question. Like,
I saw that.
Like I understand that you need to ask that, but we're just gonna politely decline that. So like I don't know. I think there's some drama there. But
yeah,
I mean they've went back. Like they came out of high school together basically onto UConn. They won the championship finally, and it's just like I don't know. They're at least really good friends.
Yeah,
sure. But
yeah.
I mean, and then after that. Olivia Miles went second, but like
what team?
The Lynx. How did the Lynx have the second pick though?
They just re-signed Nafisa to a deal.
It was like a 1 year super. Did you see Asia Wilson's contract? It was like three years.
Well deserved. She deserves every penny of it. She deserves every second of it. That's a great contract.
But
it's
like how did Minnesota was just in the finals? So like how did they have the second pick? Who let them get the second pick?
Yeah, who let that happen? How did they sneak in there?
And then that girl from like Spain went third. Awa Fam Thiem.
I don't know who that
she's
is.
She's like six. She's tall.
Like Brittany Griner tall? Like 6'8", 6'9"?
Yeah.
Dang, bro.
So like they just had the one girl last year that was tall, and then they have this girl. So like they're building like the freaking, they're building the tall squad over there.
They're trying to be like Brittany Griner and stuff like that.
But. Like you know the Rockets when they had like those two
Yao
tall
Ming.
Players?
Yeah, man.
No, it was
Boban?
Like, no, like back in the day, it was like Hakeem and someone else.
I don't know the other guy that you were.
But they were
Hakeem and
they were both really tall.
I don't even know Hakeem. I don't.
And
know
then
the
Lauren Betts went fourth to the Mystics. That was a really good pick.
That is a good.
I think she should have went.
I think she could have gone second.
She's more skilled than that, honestly.
Well,
to go fourth.
I don't know if Nafisa would like playing with her. Yeah. I think that's a good pick.
I think she was better than the girl from Spain at least.
Oh. Yeah,
and then Gabby Hawkes went fifth to the Sky, Chicago Sky.
That's
but they traded for the girl from the Sparks,
Dejanay.
No, the girl that just got drafted.
So wait,
it was Cameron Brink and Rakia Jackson. Rakia Jackson went to the Sky too. She got traded.
Raven Johnson went to the Fever.
Yep.
I mean, that
was like the best available, honestly. Like, they
but
just
like, she's
pick.
Not a great shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
like, when Caitlin Clark waved her off.
Oh, and Caitlin Clark just went off.
And then she went like she took that.
You
personal.
Know, you know what's crazy? Caitlin Clark waved her off, and now that's her teammate.
Yeah,
that's her teammate. That's crazy. Hey, hey, I'm going to wave you off. Oh, hey, we're teammates now.
And then Flauzie Johnson went to the Valkyries, but then they traded her to the Storm.
Like, I don't know. I think Flauzie's going to cause a lot of issues with that team. I mean,
like, it was either Cody McMahon or Raven Johnson that they had. That was the best available.
I don't think Cody would fit well with Cameron Clark. I don't think this.
I don't think either of them fit, but like, I was hoping that guy.
But obviously, with Aaliyah Boston being on the, you know, got to get her. But obviously, Aaliyah's not the star of the team. But
I mean, I think Raven Johnson has a lot of potential.
She's just not a great shooter.
But
go ahead.
I think she has the potential to be a good player, not a great player.
Like, I think she's like a Lexi Hull, but like better. She's like a better Lexi Hull.
Yeah. Like, if she keeps practicing her shot, she can be like a knockdown shooter if she wants to.
I think. Obviously, when you're on a South Carolina team, you get overshadowed with like Camille Cardoso and Aaliyah Boston and who are some other girls that were on South Carolina?
Tessa Johnson was better.
Yeah, Tessa Johnson. They were stacked. I forget who else was on their team, but I'm blank. Oh, Chloe Kitts was on their team.
I'm surprised that Hannah Stolke and Reagan Beers didn't get drafted.
I didn't think Stolke would get drafted. I just don't.
But I think she's better than like some of the players that were drafted.
Who do you think she's better than?
Some of the players that were drafted in the third round. I've never heard any of these people.
But I think they're basing it off of potential.
Yeah.
And like what they have.
Like Roy Harmon went in the third round. That's crazy.
The girl from Texas?
Yeah. Like who's Kokoro Tanaka?
Who?
Grace Van Sloot.
I'd have heard of her. Isn't she from Oregon?
Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State. Yeah, I've heard of her.
Jessica Timmons went to Indiana Fever.
I mean, where's she from?
Alabama.
I mean, at that point, you kind of have to go best player available, right? Yeah. I mean, if you got to surround Caitlin and Aaliyah and
they
Kelsey
just,
with
they
all
they should have just gave her Stolke, that connection.
Stolke knows how to... If there's anybody that knows how to catch passes from Caitlin, it's Stolke.
And that's what people struggle... That's what they struggle with her rookie season. Like, no one could catch her passes.
Nobody could, because they're not used to it. I mean, that's plain and simple. And you know who is used to it? Monica's... You know who the Fever should sign? Monica Sinano. Unfortunately, she's retired, but they should have signed her. And Stolke, because they know how to catch passes from her.
I think these new teams are going to be like decent. Like you know how the Valkyries made the playoffs in their first season.
Yeah,
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna recreate that. But I think they're gonna be like decent coming up. Like they're it's like a rebuild season for them because like it's their first season. But I mean,
yeah,
like the players they got were
like
pretty decent.
Toronto Tempo. Who do they get?
Toronto Tempo.
Yeah.
Let me see. They got. Brittany Skies, Marina Mabry. That's a good pickup. Marina Mabry.
That's going to bring them.
Key and Nurse.
She's going to cause problems.
Yeah.
That's another good signing. Key and Nurse.
And then they drafted Kiki Rice.
That's a good team right there. You know, you're not talking about like Marina Mabry's not an elite player, but she can get into people's heads. And like, you know, she's a great defensive player. Key and Nurse, I think, is an underrated player. I mean, she brings a lot to the team. And I think adding that in with Kiki Rice, who was a great player on the UCLA team. Obviously, when you have Lauren Betts and you have Hawkes and all those players, I love the pick what the Tempo did. And what about Miami?
Portland Fire got Bridget Carlton.
That's solid.
And then Haley Jones, you know her from Stanford?
Yeah.
Chloe Bibby from the Fever.
That's
Megan Gustafson. I don't know who they picked.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they got Gustafson. Yeah, I think she'll be coming there and be their starting center.
They picked Sarah Williams in like the third round, but I don't know who they got Nika Mule when she comes back from her injury. But
Speaking of Megan Gustafson, what did you think about that signing?
That was good.
I like it. I think she now has a place where she knows she's going to be the starter. Obviously, when you're playing behind AJ Wilson, it's kind of hard to start, right? It's kind of hard to. I think she knew that she wasn't going to start with the Fever, but hey, she got a ring, right? And, you know, I think it's good for her to go to that team because I think now that she knows she's going to start, right? And she's going to actually have a significant role on the team. Not saying she didn't have one on the Aces, but she's going to have an even bigger role this year. And I can't wait to see how she does, you know. And I think some team will sign Stolke. I hope that the Fever do because if there's anybody that knows how to catch passes from Hannah, there are two people that can catch passes the best from Cable Clark. Monica Sinano and Hannah Stolke. And Kate Martin, who I think the Fever should have taken, but they didn't. I think Lauren Betts to the Fever, or not the Fever, sorry. The Mystics made a lot of sense. You know, obviously she's 6'7", she's huge. She was just on a dominant UCLA team who made Iowa look like a middle school team. I'm serious with you. Like, and Iowa played them twice.
They made everybody look like a middle school team.
I know. They just, who was their one loss to? They should have gone on the
Texas. Feet.
Bruh, they.
And then they like dominated them in the
championship game. Like, it's just.
Like, they got Sonya Citron, Kiki Irafin. Lucy Olsen, they're building a squad.
Who?
the Mystics.
Lucy Olson is an underrated player. Mm-hmm. Sonas Citron is a great player. Now you add in Lauren Betts and...
I think they got Cody McMahon, too. How'd they have two? And then they got Georgia Amore. You know her?
That's
And they picked up Roy Harmon in the third round. They're the ones that did
that's, it. That's a steal. I mean, I think the Mystics are... They're not messing around.
They're building something there.
I know they are. But now the question is it going to work out, yeah. right? How are they all going to, how's Lauren Betts going to fit in with, you know, all those people? I think it will go just fine. I think that Lauren Betts is going to help their team a lot. And yeah, I like what the Mystics did. When Lauren Betts was still there, if I were the Mystics, I would have rushed up there. Not even a question. As soon as the pick before you was taken, I'm rushing up there. Not even a doubt in selecting Lauren Betts. And I think that hopefully that's what they did, because they should, because Lauren Betts is a tremendous player. So I think Caitlin Clark will win MVP this year. I mean, obviously Asia is a great player, but I just think what Caitlin Clark is, what she's brought to the game. I think that. Do you think she'll win MVP this year?
I think she's definitely a top pick. I think she's at least top three, top two.
I mean, I think it's her and Asia. I mean, I don't think I mean, maybe Nafisa could win it. Has she won an MVP? I don't know if she's won one in her. I mean,
did she?
I can look it up here.
No, she would have had it last year, but. Obviously, Asia Wilson. It's just hard when these players have to play like against generational talent. Like when you have Jokic's or like Asia Wilson's.
No,
like,
she's never won an MVP.
Like if she was playing in a world without Asia Wilson, she probably would have like two already.
But oh, I mean, 100%.
When you have Asia Wilson in the
league, I think it's on track to becoming the GOAT. I think Asia Wilson will be like Michael Jordan, and I think Caitlin Clark will be like Kobe or LeBron. You know what I mean? And but yeah, I think. If Caitlin Clark doesn't win MVP, I think it will be Asia Wilson. Obviously, what she's done is just she's like the NBA's Jokic, right? She plays the game the right way, and the Aces are just they're a dynasty, and they're not going to lose anytime soon. As long as they have Asia, and they just re-signed Jackie Young, they just brought back Chelsea Gray. Who did they get in free agency? I'm trying to think.
I don't think they picked up anyone.
Oh, they have Jewel Lloyd still.
Yeah,
I mean that's talking about all stars. I mean. They're starting five. Let's name the all-stars. Jewel Lloyd, Chelsea Gray, Asia Wilson, Jackie Young, obviously Kelsey Plummer.
Actually, they picked up, remember Kennedy Carter?
Yeah.
They picked her up.
That's a solid signing. Obviously, she's not an all-star, but I think that's what
they got Melissa Smith from the Fever. She used to play with the Fever.
She won't really help their team. I mean, she'll just ride the bench and get a ring somehow, you know. And
Dana Evans played good in the... When did they won, right? Dana Evans played good in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. Obviously, I didn't watch it, but... But yeah, Jaden, so next topic up.
Wait, going back to the NBA, did you see the Warriors beat the Clippers? So now the Thunder have a chance at the top pick. They're in the lottery now because the Clippers lost. Because they have the Clippers pick from that PG trade.
Here's my literally, thoughts on
that. That Paul George trade just keeps giving, bro.
My thoughts on the NBA lottery is like the worst team. It should be based off record, right? The worst team should get the first pick. The second worst team. Yeah, exactly.
Like just off your record. Because like
there shouldn't be a lottery.
The Mavericks should not have gotten the first pick.
No, not even.
Like, they're literally like one win away from the playoffs.
And I mean, it should be based on record. Yeah. The best team has the last pick. And then so on. And the NBA Finals runner up has the second to last pick. The worst team should get the first pick.
Like it stops from tanking because like you're not guaranteed that pick.
True, but like I don't think teams are trying to lose games. At the end of the day, your goal is to win the game. Your goal
for like some teams literally just want to tank.
Yeah.
Like,
no, exactly.
Some teams know they're not gonna do that. Okay. Some teams literally just like don't know they're not gonna do good that season. So like they want to tank.
We gotta pause, guys. We'll be back.
We'll be back after a short break. Okay, we're back after a brief intermission, guys.
Yeah, brief.
They had to check the computer cable.
Yeah, we're all good.
We're good.
We're good. Nothing happened here, but so back into the NBA stuff. The worst team should get the first pick, right? And then so on and so forth. The second worst team should get the second pick. The third worst team should get the.
Like I think they should. They could definitely do that, but I mean they just have to. They have to think about like if they see teams thinking or like if they see them taking out their best players when they know nothing's wrong with them.
And yeah,
they actually start wanting to lose on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, they can still tank and, like, be the worst record, but right now they don't have the probability. Like, they don't have 100% guarantee that they're going to get a top pick.
Do you think the Spurs tank for Wemby?
probably it. Like when there's a generational talent.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
When there's a generational talent, you have
Cavs
to take your
chances.
Cavs
did that
chances.
With LeBron.
Yeah, you have to take your chances with it.
I mean, was Zion a generational talent? I don't think so. I mean, I think Zion was a good player. Do I think he was generational?
At the time, they probably thought so.
I mean, Zion wasn't even a number one recruit in the country. Yeah. He was like the seventh. You know who the number one recruit was R.J. Barrett, who actually went number three and was his teammate at Duke. But yeah, I just think that they need to fix it. I don't think that they will because there should be no lottery. It should just be based on records, right? The worst team gets the first pick. The best team gets the last pick. The NBA Finals champion gets the last pick. That's what it should be. There should be no lottery. It should be like an NFL. And if a team trades up, the team trades up, right? And they should fix it. I don't think that they will, but they should. So,
because really, the OKC Thunder have picks for many years to come. Picks for many years to come. And they have a chance at the lottery because the Clippers just lost that game. And that Paul George trade literally just keeps on giving to them.
That was like 8 years ago.
And this is one of the picks right here. And literally, they have a 3.5% chance at a top four pick. And then like a 1.7% chance at the number one pick. And like if you win in the top five, you get a really good player. Because like this draft is kind of deep, like probably one of the best drafts.
Oh, well, I think it's probably one of the best in top 10. I mean, you have, I think Darren Peterson should come back for another year. I don't think he will.
Did you
but
see
like
Kaden Boozer's coming back?
That's good. He needs to come back. Cameron should come back too. I don't think he's NBA ready yet, but I think it's good that Kaden come back. Right? He's obviously not as good as Cameron. Is Cameron the one that's...
Yeah, Cameron's
I always
good.
Get him confused. Cameron is the better one. I think Kaden coming back is good. I think that's what Duke needs. I think that if he comes back, he gets better, he'll eventually be an NBA prospect. Obviously not this year because he's coming back to school, but I like the move by Kaden Boozer. I think it's a great move, and I think that, hopefully that he does well, and I'm wishing him nothing but the best. But, so moving on, the Iowa women's basketball team, right? They got a transfer. Did you see that?
No.
I think her name is like Amari Whiting, I think her name is. She actually transferred from Oklahoma State. And her, you know what's crazy enough, Jaden? Before that, she was at BYU, and her mom was the head coach. So imagine if Iowa plays BYU in a tournament somehow, and she goes up against her mom. That'd be kind of... Imagine game planning against your daughter, how crazy that'd be. Like that. I just couldn't imagine doing that, right? And I think she slides right into what Iowa wants to do. Obviously, your starting five is going to be... You're going to have Shremlo, you're going to have Chit Chat, you're going to have Hayden, you're going to have Danny Carnage, the girl that Iowa just landed in the portal. And
wasn't
now,
she like best friends with
Yeah, Chit she Chat? Was actually played with Chit Chat yeah. at Georgia Tech. And then Lissandra Barrett, Iowa's assistant coach, was at Georgia Tech when...
How do you deal with Wisconsin?
We'll get into that in a little bit. My thoughts are on that. I'm going to be really mad. So speaking of what I said about the starting lineup, so it'd be Ava Hayden, Shremlo, Chit Chat, Danny Carnage, and Amari Whiting. And I like that. You know, two out of the five of those are transfer people, right? And obviously three, you have Chit Chat, Danny Carnage, and Amari Whiting now, right? And I thought the Danny Carnage, what do you think about that pickup? I think it's a great pickup, especially because she knows Chit Chat.
Yeah.
She played with Chit Chat for 1 year at Georgia Tech. I think it's a great move, and I think she fits what Iowa needs, right? I think she's a game changer. I think that she brings what Iowa was missing these past years. I think she's going to bring a lot of her three-point presence. I think that she's going to be a great three-point shooter. And I think that when you add in people like Chit Chat and you add in Shremlo and obviously you have Hayden, I think that Danny Carnage is going to be great. And I think Amari Whiting is going to be great too. I think that that's what Iowa needed. And I'm looking forward to this next year, man. It's going to be really a fun a fun season for the Iowa women, and let's hope that they get more transfers. I don't think that they're done yet. I don't think that they are, but I don't think that they're done, but So next topic, KU basketball. Did you see that they landed a transfer the other day or yesterday? They landed a guy named what was his name? He came from Utah. What was his name? What is his name? I'm trying to find. I think his name's like Keanu something. Oh, Keanu Dawes. That's his name. He was a 6'9 power forward from Utah. Last year he averaged 12.5 points per game. And this is your Trey White replacement, right? This is the guy that's going to replace Trey White for you. And You know, I think he's a better player than Trey White. Obviously, Trey White brought a lot to your team, but I think he's more explosive than Trey White. I think he's a better player. I think he brings a lot more value to the team than Trey White did. And
didn't Floyd Badunga go to like Louisville?
Dude, they paid him so much because they paid him and Shelstead went there.
Then those two players that both committed like this.
Man, this stuff's getting out of hand, man. It's just you've heard what I had to say about it. I hate it, man. College athletes should not be getting paid. That's not what it's become, right? And I don't want to go on a rant about that. Anyways, sticking on KU, they got Keanu Dawes, who is just a great player. Came from Utah. I actually played against Kansas this year when they played at Allen Fieldhouse, and I thought that it's a great pickup, and this is your Trey White replacement, right? And do you see Bryson Tiller's going to Missouri? Did you see that?
He's going to Missouri? Why are these they're just going there for the money.
Bryson Tiller, you know why he transferred? Because he's soft. And Bill Self already screamed at him that he's soft, right? And I get you transferring, but why to their better rival? Why to their better rival in Missouri? That's fine. Hey, Bryson Tiller, if you want to lose by 50 to Kansas every year, go right ahead. Be my guest. But Jaden, doesn't really matter because Kansas is just, if they can land Tyron, Kansas has done one part of the puzzle. They've landed Keanu Dawes, their Trey White replacement. They've actually done two. They've gotten Taylen Kinney. Now they just need to land Tyron Stokes and they need to add a couple more players in the portal, and they're all set for this next season. What did I tell you, Jaden? Kansas needs to do three things to be able to be successful. They need to hire a GM, they need to get a lot of great transfers, and they need to land Tyron Stokes. They've done two out of three of those. They've done one out of the three of those, actually. They've gotten transfers. They've gotten one. Now they just need to get more transfers that fit their system. The next step is going to be to land Tyron Stokes, the number one player in the country, who's still, I don't even know how he's not committed yet. I just saw he took a visit to Kentucky the other day. Let's hope that he had a bad visit there, because I really want him to go to Kansas really bad. And I don't think Darren will return. I want him to, but I don't think he will. And
he just doesn't like the college game. He wants to go right to the league.
Could you imagine Darren and Taylen Kinney together?
It's crazy.
They'd be having so much fun out there. And actually, Cole Rosario came back, which I think was great. I think Cole Rosario is a great three-point shooter. I think he brings a lot of value to the team. I think that he...
Like, imagine if the men's college had the same rules as the women. Like, you couldn't declare for, like, 3 years.
I think women should be a one. I think they should be able to do it. Like, if you're good enough, Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, they would have gone after 1 year. They just would have. I just think that rule is stupid. I don't like it. Players should not have to wait 4 years to get drafted. They should go whenever they want to. If they feel like that they're good enough to get drafted, they should be able to test the waters to see if they're good enough from an agent, and then come back if they want to, right? And I think pretty soon we're going to see the WNBA get a G League. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why the WNBA doesn't have G League. I think that they eventually will. And Jaden, you
I mean, there's just like a lot of, there's just too much talent, and they just never get the chance.
Yeah, and I think if Megan Guffson would have played in G League, I think she would have been like Luka Garza. Remember, like, when Luka Garza was dominating for the Iowa Wolves? I think Megan Guffson would have been that for whatever team she was on.
They only have 12 roster spaces. It's just like, that's not enough on it for a team.
No.
Because like, you have to cut some of your like great role players, and then they go somewhere else, or they just don't even get a chance anymore. Like, that their career is done because they just got cut and no one else has enough space for them.
Yeah.
It's just like, the G League would be good for them.
Like,
but I mean,
Megan Guffson would have done great in the G League. Noah S. Smith would have done perfect in the G League. Kate Martin would be, I think, great in the G League. And, it's whatever, you know, but, speaking of Kansas, you know, Bill Self is coming back, right? And, obviously they have Taylen Kinney, Cole Rosario's coming back. Obviously Tiller left to Missouri, and why to Missouri, man? I mean, just why? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And if he wants to lose by 50 to Kansas, go right ahead. But I would take Keanu Dawes over Bryson Tiller any day of the week. I just would. He's an experienced guy who's played a lot of college basketball, and that's what Kansas does. They go out there, they get guys that have experience, that fit their system, and that's why they win a lot, right? That's why they go farther than Duke in most tournaments, because Kansas has guys that have played March Madness games, that have played a lot of basketball, whereas Duke, Caden Boozer hadn't played a March Madness game until this year. Cameron Boozer hadn't played a game. And Kansas gets guys that have played 3 to 4 years and that know what it's like to be in the March Madness, right? And they should continue to do that. You got to get a little bit of both, right? You got to sprinkle in a little bit of freshmen to get in there. You got to get a little bit of transfers. But Yeah, I like what Kansas has done, and hopefully that they add a lot more of transfers in the portal, and hopefully that they can land Tyron Stokes, because I think if they land Tyron Stokes, it'd be, they'd probably be ranked preseason number one, depending on who they bring in the portal. Obviously, I don't think that they're done yet, but let's hope that they can land some more players and win a championship. But yeah, so going back to Eddie Deal, man, what is she doing? Going to, why was, you know what that says? She cares more about playing than actually winning. That's just that's it. She cares more about playing time than actually winning, right? And hey, when she comes in the car for next year and we play them and we beat him by 50, I'm gonna be booing the heck out of her, and Iowa fans should, right? Like, you know, and would you if you were, if Addie Deal were to come back to Iowa, would you boo her?
Yeah,
I would. I mean, just like with Price Stanford, I want to hear him. Like, I think Danny Cardigi and Amari Whitney are better players than Addie Deal. I really do. I'm not just trying to hate on Addie Deal, but I can't wait to see Hayden body Addie Deal next year and just shoot a layup over her. Like, aren't you excited for that, Jaden? Like, I'm just excited for Chit Chat to hit a three over Addie Deal, and then her telling her like, after she's a three, hey, traitor, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, but why do Wisconsin, though? That's my thing. Is like, if you're gonna, I get why you entered the portal, but like, why do Wisconsin? Iowa's biggest rival. You know, obviously Iowa has dominated Wisconsin. Obviously, even without Campbell Clark this year, they dominated them. But like, Jaden, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, it's
kind of soft.
And I don't think that she should have been a 5-star recruit coming out of high school. No way in heck should she have been a 5-star. I agree that she should have started more. I think she should have started over Fearbach, but I don't think that she should have been a 5-star recruit. It's something that she really fit what Iowa wanted to do. And but yeah, Addie Deal, when you come to Iowa City next year and when we play against you and we beat you by 50 and you get fouled out, I'm going to be booing the heck out of you. And Iowa fans should be too, because Iowa fans remember when they got Addie Deal. She was a hyped up prospect. Everybody was labeling her the next Cantwell Clark, the next great Iowa player, and fortunately never worked out. And kids these days, they don't want to learn to develop. They don't want to take criticism. They don't want to take the time to learn to develop, and they just enter the portal and they care more about money. I said this before, and I in any sports, and I've said it again, like, if you truly love your sport, whatever you're playing, basketball, baseball, football, if you truly love the game, you want to play for the money. You play because you enjoy the sport, right? You're there because you're good enough to play basketball, so why not enjoy it and not focus on the money? Because people that focus on the money sometimes go there and they just care about the money. They don't care about making shots. They don't care about any of this stuff. They're just there to get paid. And you see, remember TJ Finley, how many schools he bounced to? Yeah. That shows that he cared more about money than actually winning. And now he's going to hurt his NFL draft stock because of it, where he should have just stayed at one school and just one school only. And, but yeah, Addie Deal, once you come to Carver and we beat you by 50, I'm going to be booing the heck out of you every single time you shoot the ball. And Iowa fans should be too, because you just should be. And moving on, let's get into that one NFL here real quick. Who do you think the best tight end in this draft is?
Tight end?
I think it's Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have Eli Stowers won the Mackey Award, but I think Kenyon Sadiq is a better tight end.
The Mackey Award?
Yeah. The tight end from Vanderbilt, the guy that opted out against Iowa because he was scared of their defense. And
Kenyon Sadiq was really good.
I think he's best tight end in the draft. I mean, the dude is like, he's like 6'3", but the dude is explode. Like, he can move. And obviously, Eli Sowers won the Mackey Award for the best tight end in college football, but like, what Kenyon Sadiq was doing this year, I've never seen anybody else do. I think he's the best tight end in the draft, and whatever team gets him is gonna steal. You know, I just think that he's just an explosive tight end. You know, he makes players around him better. Obviously, with Dante Moore this past year, what he did, and but yeah, man, I think the best tight end is Kenyon Sadiq. I think the best running back, no question, is Jeremiah Love. And I've changed my stance on this. I do think Jordan Tyson is the best receiver in the draft. I mean, obviously you have Carnell Tate, you have Mekhi Lemon, but I think Jordan Tyson will have the best career of anybody. I really do. I mean, the guy is, how tall is he? I don't even know.
Tall. For a wide receiver.
I can look it up here. Jordan, he is 6'2". So kind of big for a receiver, but, I think he's going to be a great addition to whatever team picks him. You know, I think he'll be a first-round pick. I think late first round, but look to the Vikings could get him. If the Vikings get him, man, that's going to be... But also, he's not going to have a quarterback to get him the ball if he goes to the Vikings. So it's going to be hard. If a receiver goes to the Vikings, I genuinely feel bad for you because Kyler Murray is not going to get you the ball well. Kyler Murray is better than J.J. McCarthy, and Carson Wentz is better than J.J. McCarthy. But whoever is their quarterback, man, it's going to be hard for them to live there. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it. But, I think I've changed my stance a little bit on that. You know, obviously watching, you know, you headlined by Carnell Tate and Mekhi Lemon and all these people. I just think that Jordan Tyson is just the best player in this draft. I mean, not the best player, the wide receiver in this draft. And I just think that whatever team gets him is going to get a gem and he's going to be a great player. And who do you think the best offensive lineman is in this draft? You got Kaden Proctor, you got Monroe Threwing, you got Caleb Spencer Fano, you got Francis Mayoga, you got...
the guy from or the dude from Georgia,
Monroe Freeling.
Yeah,
I think that too. I think he's probably the best in this draft. I think Monroe Freeling. Have you seen him? He's a big dude. He's like 6'7". He's ginormous. And you know, whatever team gets Monroe Freeling, I think whatever team gets Monroe Freeling or Mayoga is going to be really happy about their team, or Spencer Fano too. And Caleb Lomu, I think, will be great players. I don't think Kaden Proctor will be a good NFL player. I've said this before, and I said it again. I think he'll be a bust. I think he's lazy. I think he's I just think he's not a good – I don't think he's built for the NFL. I don't think he's going to be ready to go against, you know, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, or Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby. I don't think he's ready enough to go against those guys. And everybody's saying he's a generational prospect. I don't agree with that. I think he's the next Robert Gallery. I don't think he's going to work out well. And I swear to God, if the Bears take him at 25, bro, I'm turning off my TV and I'm leaving, bro. We need to get a defensive tackle because our pass rush struggled last year. We need to get Peter Woods if he's there. We need to get Akeem Mesidor if he's there. We need to get if Jacob Rodriguez is there in the second round, take him. I'm not even mad if they get Jacob Rodriguez. Take him. Right. And I think I've said this before, Jaden. I think Jacob Rodriguez is the best linebacker in this class. I mean, the dude is just an explosive football player. He breeds just a linebacker, right? He won the Buckus Award for the best linebacker in college football. He actually started his career at Virginia, where he was a quarterback, and then he transitioned to linebacker. And I hope that the Bears get him, right? Because obviously we lost Tremaine Edmonds. We released him. He went to signing with the Giants. And if we can get Jacob Rodriguez, man, I would be so happy with that pick. I mean, we need a guy that is, if he goes to the Bears, people are going to compare him a lot to Brian Urlacher, obviously, because Urlacher was obviously one of the best linebackers of all time, and you know, obviously Bears great and all that stuff. But I mean, whatever team gets him is getting steal. And I could see Jordan Tyson going is the Dolphins. They need receiver help bad, dude. You know what I mean? Like. But the problem is they're not gonna have they're gonna have Malik Willis throwing him the ball, right? And where do you think Jordan Tyson can go? I mean, the Dolphins make sense. I think the Vikings.
The Dolphins need like a whole wide receiver.
They just need a rebuild. They just need a. I think Dolphins make sense. I think that the Raiders make sense. I think the Vikings make sense. Maybe the Bengals, even though you have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, but
the Browns.
I think they'll take Carnell Tate, but. You never know. Or they could take Mayoga. You never know. But maybe they take two receivers. Maybe they do. But you never know. But
the Cowboys?
Yes. I mean, besides George Pickens, who do they have? And CeeDee Lamb, who do they have? They don't have any
players. I'm not even sure that George Pickens wants to be a Cowboy anymore.
Then why would he request a trade from the Steelers and then go to the Cowboys and he doesn't want to be there, right? That doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't.
Or the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, who's the wide receiver one? I mean, Zay
Flowers.
Besides Zay Flowers, who do they have? They have Nelson Aguilar. I mean, he's not
Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, I think he's an underrated receiver for sure.
I don't know. It'll be interesting who takes who.
Definitely. I think the Dolphins make a lot of sense. I think the Raiders make a lot of sense, especially with Mendoza going number one. They need to get him some good receivers, some explosive playmakers around him. For Mendoza to succeed, they need to get good players around him. They need to get, first off, they need to get him a good offensive line, which I think they addressed that well. Obviously, they overpaid for Leonard Brown, but like I've told you this before, Jaden, like, the bad teams, that's what they have to do to get good players. They have to overpay. And I think getting Linderbaum for Mendoza is great. Linderbaum is a top three center in the NFL. Obviously, you have Creed Humphrey, you have him, and then you have Connor McGovern with the Bills. You had Drew Dolman for the Bears, and then he retired. But and then you had Frank Ragnow, who just retired with the Lions. But yeah, so I think Kenan Sadiq is the best tight end in this draft. I think Jordan Tyson is the best receiver in this draft. I think Jeremiah Love is the best running back, and I think he's the best player in this draft. I think Mendoza is the best quarterback, obviously. I mean, this quarterback class is probably one of the weakest ever. Do you think it's as weak as the 2022 draft class with like Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett?
I mean, like those guys are at least good backups. Malik Willis is going to be a,
but he's going to be a starter in Miami because they don't have anybody.
He's going to be a decent starter, but like there's just no one around him. There's no one to throw the ball to. He's gonna make those guys look like freaking
like middle schoolers.
I don't even know. Jarvis Landry, maybe.
Yeah, is he even in the league anymore? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
But if they get Jordan Tyson, then they're gonna have to throw him the ball. Right.
I mean, like if he just gets like one decent wide receiver in the draft, I mean like just target him. Just let that be your Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Like draw up plays for him.
Especially with Jeff Halfley, where obviously, he knows him from playing with the Packers and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, I interesting to see what happens. You know, I think that there's going to be a lot of trades. And, you know, hopefully that my Bears can obviously address the defense. And if we get Jacob Rodriguez, man, I'm going to be extremely, extremely happy because we need linebacker. And Jacob Rodriguez is the best linebacker in this class. Buckets Award winner, 6'1", just embodies a linebacker. He was meant to be a linebacker, right? And I think him, especially playing quarterback, helps you become a linebacker because you know what the quarterback is thinking and you know where to move your feet, you know where the ball is going. You can see the ball a lot. And I think he reminds me a lot of like a Jack Campbell type player, just the way that he moves. Obviously, he's 6'1". Jack Campbell is 6'5", but just the way that he moves and the way that he embodies football, I think he reminds me a lot of just the Jack Campbell type player. And whatever team gets him, they're going to be really happy because he's the best linebacker in the draft, and he's definitely going to be a steal for the draft. And and this quarterback class too is so weak. So, what class do you think is better, 2022 or 2025?
Say it again.
So, what quarterback draft class do you think is better, the 2026 or the 2022? Or like quarterback class? Okay, so
I think this draft has a more potential, but that draft class was already like back up.
You had Malik Willis, you had Sam Howell, you had Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett was Kenny Pickett, but I mean, like
he was not good.
He could be like a if you needed a backup, he could fill in.
Dude won a ring and didn't even do anything in the Eagles. He just I think this draft class is better, even though I think that some of the quarterbacks in here should have came back to school. Like, I think Ty Simpson should have came back to Alabama. I really do think that. I think Ty Simpson, he really only has 1 year of starting experience, right? And, you know, I think Ty Simpson should have done what Dante Moore did and came back to school, right? Dante Moore, he came back to school, you know why? Because he wants to win a national championship. He wants to, I think he kind of had a little sour taste in his mouth from last year and what happened. And, I think that Ty Simpson should have came back. I think he should have done what Dante Moore did and just gotten better, right? I'm not saying Ty Simpson's not a great quarterback. He is. But he's not Mendoza. And I think if he would have come back to school, he would have been a Heisman candidate, obviously, with Arch Manning. You know, you have Sam Leavitt at LSU.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of potential, but I don't think they're ready to be starters right now.
No.
I don't even think they're ready to be a backup in the NFL.
You see what
right
Orlovsky
now?
Said about Ty Simpson?
Mm-mm.
He said Ty Simpson is the best quarterback in this draft.
Nope.
Like, are you high? Like, what are we doing here, Dorian Orlovsky? Especially because he played quarterback, too. Yeah. He should know better.
He could put up some competition in a couple years, but right now, I don't think so.
I think what he needs to do is he needs to go to a team like the Rams where he can learn behind Stafford, and then he learned behind a veteran quarterback.
They're saying they want the Cardinals to pick him and they want him to start. I don't think he's ready to start yet.
No, especially with a bad organization like that. I think if he learns behind Gardner Minshew.
You ruin a quarterback when they're not NFL ready And then they just like they're not confident anymore. They
look at Justin Fields. Look at
they just think they can't do it anymore. They're like, dang, I really suck. I'm not meant for this. But like, if you let them learn a couple years behind someone, or you let them see what the NFL is like, or you develop them more and then throw them in.
Like Justin Fields, Matt Nagy just threw him in right away, and obviously you had Andy Dalton on there.
Like some quarterbacks are just ready to play.
Yeah, like Mendoza, he's a blue chip. He's ready.
But I mean, some quarterbacks need time to learn behind someone and develop themselves.
Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Ty Simpson.
I honestly think this quarterback class can be good if you let them develop behind someone and learn.
But there's not really a career cut number two.
Yeah.
Obviously Mendoza headlines the class, but there's not really like a career cut number two.
I mean, like I would take Tyson in front of anyone else, honestly.
So you would take him ahead of Carson Beck, Garrett Nussmeier, Cade Klubnik.
Just to try to, because I think he has the most potential out of all of them.
Yeah.
Definitely not Diego Pavia, though.
No, I don't even know how that guy should not go. Dude is 5'9". He's the same height as me, Jaden, 5'9". And dude thinks he can play in the NFL. Heck, you can't even see over your offensive line. You know Diego Pavia reminds me of Kyler Murray, except way less of an arm, way less explosive. I think he'll go undrafted, but like, dude struggled against Iowa. I mean, all he did was just run against Iowa. I don't think he passed the ball well. I mean.
Like Garrett Nussmeier, he was decent. Then wasn't he behind Jaden Daniels?
Oh, you have Taylen King or Taylen Green too from Arkansas. Yeah. He'll be fine, you know.
I mean, like, and then there's, like you said, like Carson Beck. He's like, there's just a bunch of decent quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, Taylen like, Green no, from Arkansas.
No people that like stick out. Like, if you had this quarterback as your starter, you'd want a different quarterback. But I mean, if you didn't have a quarterback at all, like say the Cardinals, like there's a bunch of quarterbacks competing for the job. If you didn't have a quarterback at all, they could get you through a year.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
you could decide after that what you want to do.
I think the Cardinals signing Gardner Minshew is good because I think they know that we'll probably draft somebody young and then Martin Minshew can start and teach them a lot.
Yeah.
But like Minshew doesn't really have a lot. He started with Jacksonville before Trevor Lawrence was there. And but I agree with you 1,000% is that like you need like Mahomes learn behind Alex Smith for a year. Josh Allen, I don't know if Josh Allen already learned behind anybody. Peyton Manning learned behind, I don't know if he learned behind anybody. Tom Brady
like
learned
Tom,
behind.
Yeah, Tom Brady was
Drew
behind.
Bledsoe, but he got lucky. Let's be honest. If Drew Bledsoe never got hurt, Tom Brady would have never started. They would have never won 6 Super Bowls, right? We can play the what if game all day if we want to, but we're not going to do
like
that.
Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, like Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre, right? And Caleb Williams learning from Case Keenum now. Obviously, he's starting, but Case Keenum, I think, teaches him a lot, right? And I think that the great quarterbacks, they need a mentor that can teach them a lot. And also, like Mendoza with Kirk Cousins. I think that's a perfect example of this. Mendoza needs a guy that he can trust. He needs a guy that he can say, hey, what do I do here, right? When do I watch film? What do I do here? What not to do? I think the Kirk Cousins signing is probably is an underrated signing this year in the NFL. Kirk Cousins has started for 3 different teams. He's had a lot. He's been in the league for a long time. He's been around a lot of different quarterbacks. And I think bringing him in to teach a young guy like Mendoza the ropes of the NFL. Hey man, hey Fernando, this is what you do. This is what you not do. This is how you approach practice. This is what you do at practice. This is how you address the media and all that stuff. I think it's a tremendous move for the Raiders. And I think more young quarterbacks need to have a mentor, you know? Like, Matthew Stafford learned behind Dan Orlovsky when he was at the Lions, right? And every young quarterback needs a mentor, right? They just do. They gotta, because they come in the league and they think they know everything, but it turns out you don't, right? And you need a quarterback that can teach you a lot of things that you don't know. Because once you have that mentor that can teach you a lot, you realize, oh man, I didn't know a lot of stuff coming in the league. I thought I knew a lot, but I actually didn't. Right. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in this draft. I think that I think Mark Gronkowski will go undrafted. It'll be interesting to see where Wiegen goes and James Dunker and all those guys.
Like Mark Gronkowski.
He reminds me a lot of Tyson Bagent. Just
a
story.
He has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Of what he can be. Like the winningest quarterback. But I don't think he'll go undrafted. But I mean,
whoever, he'll be like Tyson Bagent.
He can develop.
Like
he definitely has potential.
Remember when Tyson Bagent came out of.
Yeah.
He was just like Mark Gronkowski, broke a lot of records in Division II, set a lot of records, had a lot of wins in Division II, actually won the D2 Heisman. Obviously, Mark Gronkowski didn't win the Heisman at Iowa, but I think he did in FCS. And, you know, they're the same size, 6'3", a great runner, has a great arm. And I think Mark Gronkowski just reminds me a lot of Tyson Bagent, just the way he throws. it's his story, I think, first of all, and just, you know, the way that he plays for sure. So I think whatever team gets Mark Gronowski, he's going to be really happy. You know, I think he's a guy that can be like a Kurt Warner type or like a Tyson Bagent, you know, just a guy that can come in and start a couple games for you. And real quick before we get out, Iowa State hired Brett Metcalf as their head coach, and he's a former Hawkeye now, and a lot of his assistants are Hawkeyes, and they're doing like a reverse Dan Gable situation here, where Gable went to Iowa State and got hired by Iowa, but now Brett Metcalf went to Iowa and got hired at Iowa State, so it's kind of like that, and it's gonna be a battle when Iowa State comes to Carver next year, and they Iowa beats the crap out of them like they do every year, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. You know what happens, and
oh, look at that, Ben.
Did you see Northwest boys soccer, man?
Yep,
beat Hoover 1-0. How do you feel about that, Jaden?
I mean, like all their superstars are gone, basically. Everyone transfers out of Hoover now. Like, there's no one that wants to play at Hoover anymore. Like, soccer and track is what they have.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, it's just
Hoover
like,
plays tonight against Waukee.
I hope they win.
You know who I'm cheering for, Jaden. You know who I'm taking. I'm going to take the Hoover Huskies to win this game. All right, Jaden. You guys are the better team. I'm never cheering for Waukee. It's like cheering for Iowa State. All right? Iowa State is little bro. Waukee's little bro. Northwest is big bro, right? And I'm cheering for the Hoover. Hopefully that you guys decimate Waukee in boys soccer. Hopefully that you guys win by a lot. Hope that you do. If it's on TV, I will be watching. If the Cubs are on at 1:20, depending on what time the soccer game is on, I'll be watching it. But go Huskies, baby. I think I've become a Hoover fan now, you know, except when they're not playing against Northwest. Obviously, they play Northwest in boys soccer. I was obviously cheering for Northwest, but when they don't play against Northwest, I will cheer for Hoover any day of the week, right? And
bro, I could tell you, like, maybe two people on this roster.
That you know? Or?
Yeah, literally two.
Who?
Josh Musengo, because his brother.
Do you graduate with him or
no? Like, I graduated with his brother.
Oh,
and then Amisi Bita. He was there when I was. He was a sophomore when I was a senior.
Oh,
he was the goalkeeper. He's like literally like. It doesn't say how tall. He's like literally like maybe 5'4" as a goalkeeper.
Actually,
yeah,
he's shorter than me, bro. Dang.
But like he be getting around. He be diving for him.
Hopefully that you block a lot of goals tonight against Waukee. Hopefully that you guys decimate them and go Huskies, baby. Looking forward to it. You know, hopefully will you be tuning in this game, Jaden? Will you be tuning into the Hoover versus?
There's potential.
Potential. I don't know if it's on CSN.TV, but yeah, Jaden, good talk with you today. And
NBA playoffs start tomorrow.
Yep.
Go Lakers.
Yeah, go Lakers. It was interesting to see what happens if Kevin Durant can actually carry a full team. But
2018, Bron is back, guys.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Hold on, let me show you.
What?
2018,
Bron
is
man.
Back. Oh,
man. Is that your background?
That's my home screen. Bro. Let's go, Bron.
Yeah, man. Great episode today. We covered a lot of stuff. And yeah, Jaden and I, looking forward to Monday. And looking forward to the NFL draft coming up this next week. It's crazy, man. We're already at the NFL draft already. And, good episode today. We covered a lot of stuff. And good to be back. Good to be back, for sure. I haven't been back since Monday, so it was good to be back and, you know, talking with you. So, yeah.
Check us out on CambridgeChronicleNews.com website. Instagram, Ticker X, at DMAC Chronicle. And join us in Building 5 from 1136.
Right when you walk into the building, door. It says the Campus Chronicle, the student newspaper. That's the room. Come right on in. If you want to even listen to me and Jaden, you don't necessarily have to talk. You can just come in here and listen. And hear what we have to say. And you know, we're writing a lot of great stories. Jaden actually just did a 50-year, what is it?
There's like two new issues coming out. 50-year issue. 50-year,
50
like,
years, Jaden. That's older than my parents, man. That's crazy, but yeah, Jaden's been grinding on, working on that. He's been working very hard on that story, and I know it's going to be great, Jaden. If it's made by you, then it's good, right? And I have a story that hopefully that we both looked at.
It. It's like I edited it down so it could fit on the page, but you just need to pick out a picture, whatever.
Appreciate
picture
it,
you
man.
Want.
Appreciate you a lot.
So back page, Ben is back, guys.
Got a good back Iowa story written for you guys, and yeah,
you should do the full Garris 3. That's
I should.
That's the.
I should do the dagger dunk against Nebraska. That'd be a good picture, but yeah, appreciate you guys tuning in, and catch you on the next episode.
Catch you next time, guys.
Peace.